Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Small Worlds Podcast. My name is Corey O'Flanagan.
And I am Leanne Davidson.
We're starting to discover that Leanne can actually sing pretty well. It's phenomenal.
And I'm not quite sure I believe him, but I'll just go with it.
We're building trust on that. Today on the podcast, we are bringing you our journey through the northern part of India and the Golden Triangle and beyond.
Yes, we will be visiting New Delhi, Varanasi, Agra, Jaipur, Jaisalmer, and lots of trains in between.
Furthermore, we have a special guest.
Everyone's favorite guy in Alaska.
Matthew Dallas Palomar.
Yes, Matt, we've been trying to get rid of him, but we can't, so we let him come to India to come visit with us. And yeah, he's our special guest star. It's a bit of a longer podcast this week, but we think it'll give a few laughs for everyone.
Yeah, and definitely some good info, so stay tuned for the whole thing if you are thinking about traveling to India at all. Make sure you're following us on our social medias, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook. Just search at Small Worlds Podcast.
And check out our website, www.smallworldspodcast.com.
Guys, subscribe, tell a friend, rate and review. It helps so much. Have a great day and enjoy this about India. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Small Worlds Podcast.
Welcome, 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 and welcome back to the one, the only, the prestigious Matthew Palomar. Matthew Dallas Palomar. Everyone's favorite Alaskan.
Last time we hung out with Matt, we were in Juneau, and now we are in a humble hotel in Bangkok, and Matt's on the beaches of
The Philippines. But we did spend 2 weeks in India together.
Yes, two lovely, lovely weeks.
And that's something that we want everyone to keep their eye and attention on, is that we really did enjoy it, but it came with its difficulties, and we're going to try and just be real with you guys, but we want to paint a nice picture too, so bear with us as we take you through this. Since Leanne and I have already done a couple episodes on India, you kind of have an idea of our feelings for it, but when we got to Delhi, Matt flew in a few hours later and landed in Delhi. So Matt, give us kind of your first impressions of you landing and then that first couple days in Delhi.
Honestly, the first thing that comes to mind is loud. It's very, very loud.
I can see that.
You know, as you know, from me being in Alaska, I enjoy the quiet and the solitude. And of course, I was mentally prepared for India, but it's just the horns, the loudness. So that was my first impression, but I was like, oh, this is a busy city, you know, there's a lot happening, like, let's get into it. And I got there at night, so it was kind of like, that was my first, I didn't see it during the day when I arrived.
And so most people, I think, most tourists that come to India, I think we can agree, fly into Delhi and then go and do the typical India trip includes the Golden Triangle, which is Delhi, Agra, where the Taj Mahal is, and then Jaipur. And we just took that idea and we extended it a little bit to the east and west.
So by a little bit, he means about 15 hours of train journeys either side.
Yeah.
But yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
It's just a short 15-hour train journey.
15 hours without delays. We got delayed to 21 hours, but that's a whole other thing.
Hey, some of them were very comfortable. Some of them not so much, which we will get to later on for Corey's.
Leanne got to log some serious hours playing Witcher, which is her dream.
For any of you Witcher fans out there, Great game on Steam.
We're in Delhi for just a couple of days. We all got some tattoos, which was actually a really great experience, I think.
Yeah.
Matt got his first tattoo, and in typical Alaskan style, got himself a whale.
And a kayak. Which, if you look at his Instagram, he's trying to subtly post on them. So you can see the subtle Instagram posts.
And then I think one of the most important things that we need to talk about in Delhi is what your experience will be if you go to buy a train ticket.
Yeah. I think that was one of
trains
the most challenging.
Big part of it. India's
so the train station in the middle of Delhi, there's a couple of them, but there's one main one. And you go to the train station and you can't buy your ticket in the normal spot where everyone else is. You have to go to the special tourist spot, and it is
There's no signs.
Matt, how did you describe it? Because of the sounds and everything, it was perfect how like the old school printers and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, Matt.
It's very like, it's one of those, like, especially the lady in Monsters, Inc. too, like the sluggish librarian one. She reminds me of like the bureaucratic process that you have to go through just to get a train ticket. And it's like, you're sitting there in purgatory and it's just like, things take so long. Like, there's a guy whose main job is just to like give you a piece of paper, and then you go from one desk to another desk to another desk, and it's a process.
And they're shouting out numbers that go very slowly. You can hear that constant like old school keyboard typing, and then things are printing off.
Yeah.
It is exactly how you would describe purgatory.
If all three of us were buying our tickets together, we would be able to use one credit card, but since Leanne and I were buying ours separately from Matt, we couldn't put them all on one credit card, so they have these really strange rules like that. You gotta have your passport. Yeah. I would bring cash just in case their systems might be down.
Sure.
And the thing that I think we learned, and we'll get deeper into this later on in this podcast, is it's 1.6 billion fucking people in this country.
Right.
If you can plan it out, buy your tickets early, because
we learned the hard way.
we had a rough train ride later in this trip, but for the most part, we got pretty lucky.
We were very lucky. We, as standard, travel like water.
Mm-hmm.
We just expected, you know what, there's going to be lots of trains, lots of seats.
We'll just show up.
We don't need to do it. We'll just show up. Hopefully, there'll be one for a few hours later, maybe the day after. I think
you definitely have to be flexible with time, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you can't, like, expect something's going to take an hour, because you never know how long anything's going to take.
If you think it's going to take 10 minutes,
expect it to take an hour.
Yeah, like, 1 hour is probably about 4 hours in India.
And the best way to do that and manage that is to do it as an overnight train, so that if you're planning to get there at, say, 10 in the morning, you don't get there till 1 in the afternoon, it doesn't completely fuck you over.
Yeah, and it's also a way to save money on accommodation.
Which is essentially what happened to us on the overnight train that we took to Varanasi.
And we should tell you guys, great tips, is about the train class system, because we actually had no idea when we were booking our tickets. We weren't really sure what the C's and the B's and the numbers, and we didn't really know what anything was. So broken
down.
Give us a quick breakdown. Top of the range, high flyers, you got your first class, where you have your two-bedroom suite, we shall call it, which is basically you have your own closed-off room. There's just the two beds in there.
It's four people, but it's fully air-conditioned or heated, very private. You can shut and lock the door if you want.
You have blankets, pillows.
You get blankets, yeah.
Clearly, I never stayed in there because I don't know how many beds is actually in there. I actually poked my head in once.
We walked by.
But then you have two.
Yep, 2A.
So basically, this is where you have four beds that are opposite each other, like bunk beds, and then you have a curtain that closes off, and then you have another two that have their own personal curtains, like think of a capsule hostel type thing where you can close your curtains. This was my favorite way. We were three people out of four beds, so we dominated our berths.
Most overnight trains are going to run around $30 for that.
Is what we saw.
And then the next step from there is the 3A, where they just add two bunks to that situation, so a couple more people, a little bit less comfort,
and
but you're
no
still
curtains.
Getting blankets and pillows.
But no curtains.
And the curtain privacy is taken away.
Yes.
Which is
blankets
true.
Blankets and pillows are very important.
So, Matt, why don't you explain the next class? Where we found ourselves after paying for a second class ticket.
Sleeper class.
So when all that was left was like the sleeper class, and you're like, oh, we've done a few trains by now, like, we'll be okay, like, yeah, sure, we'll take it. We get on the train, it's fine, it's really not that different, to be honest. Like, in terms of, like, it's the bed, it's really not, like, hugely different, except that there's these windows that don't really close properly all the way, and it's, like, a very, very cold breeze, like absolutely freezing.
If you don't know about Indian temperatures, in the winter, I know, you know what, call me dumb. In the winter in India, it's cold in the north. And we're not talking mountains, we're talking Delhi to Varanasi, Varanasi to Jaipur.
Yeah, it's not dumb, it's just a lack of the willingness to research.
A lack of knowledge.
Right.
That's a really sweet way of saying it.
Yeah, like some people may think like, oh, it's just a blanket. Like I can survive a nice chill breeze. I'll just put a sweater on. Yeah, okay. That's what we all thought though. And I think all at one point we all woke up shivering and we were just like, we can't do it. And so all of us at one point went into the nicer class cabin, stole blankets, and then returned to the cheap cabin.
Absolutely, we did.
It's like there's a bunch of blankets that aren't being used, so it's not like,
it's
know,
also a no-no.
Yeah.
It's also a no-no because people come on at different times of the night. So have your story. If you were going to rebel and steal like these two did, I remained in bed with all my scarves and my clothes as my blankets.
Yeah.
But if you are going to steal...
Corey was sick and shivering. Like, he needed a blanket. This was necessary.
I was shriveled up and we all got hit with the sickness. Mine got hit with at a really inopportune time on the sleeper class. But... we persevere, and you know what? Stealing the blanket, I was warmed by that, and also the guilty blanket that I was wearing, that kept me warm too. Because we got woken up in the middle of the night by people from the other class who were like, where'd you guys get these blankets? And we just said took them from a different train where we were in the different class.
So everyone, you're welcome. You now have an alibi. And if you just speak English quick enough, no one will understand what you're saying.
Avoid sleeper class if you can. It is just, it's Delhi. I mean, traveling through India, I think you're either going to have cold temperatures like we had, or you're going to have the opposite where it's going to be blistering hot and you're not going to be able to sleep in that. So just spring for the extra money. It's really not that much if you consider that you're also getting a night of accommodation, and just get 3A on up.
And you need it because India is tiring. Yeah. Like we said, the honking of the horns, the overload of the senses. You need a good night's sleep to be able to deal with it in
and
a humane
way. When
point.
You're in those other sections, it's... you're fucking comfortable and sleeping nicely and like
really nice families around you. Everyone, that's one thing I have to say that was really nice. We met so many nice people on the train.
Yeah.
Lots of people didn't speak English, lots of people did, but there was always a way. Everyone's offering you food and snacks, and it is really warm feeling from that.
Yeah, the trains do feel like you're more of like, you know, in the real presence of like people just living there. You know, you don't feel like a tourist really. Like, of course you're traveling but as a tourist, but like, these are people who are doing this, you know, to go visit family or friends in other, you know, parts of India, and you meet some, like, really interesting people on there.
Yeah.
They meet, like, Indian people.
And some quick tips for the train I will add in. So, toilets, they're not the best. In our experience, the eastern toilet was a lot more cleaner than the western toilet due to a very wobbly train, a couple of explosions from both ends from people.
There's shit pukers out there. I don't know who they are, but there are shit
pukers. Corey was one of the shit pukers
on these trains.
So it was kind of, remember to take some hand sanitizer. We have baby wipes, toilet paper. Just have all these little things in your bag if you don't already travel with them.
Strengthen the tip of your pinky because that's what you're going to be using
to
balance in there.
That's what you're using. You don't want to touch anything.
You don't want to touch anything.
And then I at one point used like a baby wipe and wrapped it around the handle so that I could like hold on to it while I used the toilet. And it was just like, okay, and we were talking about this. None of us are really like clean freaks. We're not like germaphobes or anything. I have never felt this way until I was in India in certain places, like the bathroom on the train, where I'm like, you know what? I just don't want to touch anything.
I've always prided myself at not being a princess. And this is where I fully came into my own as a princess. Yeah. I was like, hand sanitizer before and after everything. Another thing to know is that there are power outlets on the train, which is really good. If you do have one of those multiple USB things, that's awesome, because then everyone in your section can plug in, because there is only one plug.
We made some friends with that.
We made some friends with that, definitely.
Food is something that's... just bring your own food. It's kind of still unclear to us if you get a meal or not.
We didn't get
We've had meals brought to us on some trains, and on other trains we didn't get a meal.
And we had to pay for them, so we're really confused about that.
So we're not 100% sure. So just bring some street food or whatever you can grab, and then...
I'll play chicken at the stops.
In terms of the toilet, definitely try and use it first thing if you can. Because if you do the overnight train and you go in the next morning, I mean, you don't even want to brush your teeth in there.
Yeah.
It's just been used and abused.
I brushed my teeth outside of the open door. I was literally like, you know what?
Well, this is another...
that's another great thing.
I think
open
so.
Doors are really cool.
It's really a nice tip, because if you're just in an area and everyone's getting a little bit of deli belly and just kind of releasing their stress, if you will, and it starts to smell... just go to the open door and hang out there for a little bit, watch sunset, watch sunrise, and just enjoy a nice breeze. It's pretty, that would never happen in a Western country because of liability and lawsuits, but it's so cool to have those doors open.
Right. safety, cleanliness standards, all of that's out the window. So it's all free game.
But if you can accept that, then you're all good to go.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So good stuff on trains. Let's get into the. So we took an overnight train to Varanasi. This was supposed to be a 12-hour train ride, if I remember right, 12 or 15.
15.
It turned into 21. And we're not sure why. You don't really ever get a reason. You just go with it, and then when you get to your stop, you get out and carry on with your day. But Varanasi was a city that we felt like we had to go to. It's very, very unique. It is one of the most historical cities in India, if not the world.
They say in Hinduism that it's the first city.
Right.
And why is that, Matt?
Yeah, so they believe like it's a very holy city, and a lot of people pilgrimage there for their death. I mean, and if you research for 3 seconds about Varanasi, you'll see that it's like a city that is very comfortable with death and like dead bodies and everything. And that's because they believe like Lord Shiva, and I can't remember the name of like his wife or whoever it is.
Well.
Starts with a P.
Parvati.
It's like Piramati.
Parvati.
Yeah. Parvati, and I'm sure we're butchering the names, but. Lord Shiva and Parvati like went down to the Ganges River at the site of where Varanasi is now, and they kind of like did this test and pretended like one of them was dying or sick, or at least and tried to say, you know, whoever is not of sin can help us. And so all these people were coming up trying to like test themselves, like, oh, I'm not of sin, you know, I can help. And none of them were working until one guy was like, oh, he jumps in the river Ganges.
Yep, Ganges. Yeah.
And then he comes out and he says, I have washed myself. I'm free of sin. And then Lord Shiva and Parvati are basically like, oh, that was very clever, you know? And then they kind of like bless the site, and they blessed the man who did that. And like, that's where time began. And so people pilgrimage there for their death, because if you die there, they believe that you automatically, end the cycle of reincarnation. I think they call it like Moshi or something like that, where it's
and you die a clean soul.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people go there to die because they think if they die there and they put their bodies in the river, it cleanses them.
It's like going to Valhalla, isn't it? It's
right. And so you guys can talk about the death.
So to be honest,
the death of
us all coming from a culture where death is such as a negative thing, and I think we've all experienced like death as being such a sad thing in our lives. It was something super positive that I can say about this place. There was definitely a spiritual energy. I'm not particularly religious or spiritual, but I definitely felt it amongst people. And I think the whole positive image that they have, and the acceptance of death, is a very beautiful thing to watch. The ceremony, we went to go watch it. Highly recommend. Yeah. It was really beautiful. People are singing. There's, you know, the actually cremating bodies and then spreading the ashes in the river.
Yeah, there's live pyres of wood with people being cremated in front of you. And as you're walking through the city, you have
covered
little bits
ash.
Of ash from this.
Yeah.
And it's right. Just a very unique thing. If you can put yourself on the side of just being open and understanding that you're in a different culture and this is what's happening in front of you, it's just soak it all in.
Yeah.
Take some really good soap and shampoo and just wash it all off.
Yeah.
Actually, I didn't shower for like 3 days, remember, after he visited.
Oh my God, I know. He was literally carrying DNA around on him.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. Matt just does not shower.
But, you know, I really like hot showers, and I was waiting until we found one. So
there's another tip. But hot showers are few and far in between if you're not splurging on a fancy hotel. Few and far between.
Backpacker budget, then it's kind of just.
But I do have to say, one thing that I found hilarious in this was when we were walking through this tunnel at nighttime, and me and Matt, you know, we were just like walking behind Corey. Corey's doing a task, and we're walking, and we just see this like still body, and we're like, oh my God, is he dead? Is that a body? Has someone just left a body there for the next? Is this somewhere where the bodies get left? And we walked past about 5 minutes later, and he was moving, and we were just like, okay, cool, we didn't see a body.
Yeah. Because it wouldn't be a shocker if there was just a body there. Like like you guys have said, they're just different relationship with death that they have, you know? So
it's nice. It gives you a new perspective of like, you know, instead of mourning the death so much, should we be celebrating the life that was? And I just really like that aspect of it. And then it's a very unique city in terms of how it's just the river is the main point of interest for everybody. And then you have these stairways leading to it that are called the ghats. Mm-hmm. And they're, that's where they do all the burnings and the cremations of people. And then you have all these beautiful temples spread about them. And you can take these boat rides up and down the Ghats where you get just a good view of the city. And then you can go over to the other side where there's kind of just like what? Like beach. A desert island, literally?
Yeah, it's like, I guess it's the beach, isn't it?
Yeah. They call it the beach, yeah.
Yeah.
And you've got tons of people just washing themselves in the water, whether or not they're dying or not. It's just something, a daily ritual that locals seem to do.
Which is kind of disturbing for us because it's kind of like, mm-hmm. There's body in there, there's ashes, there's actual... So actually, it's that to be able to pay for the cremation in Varanasi is very much a privilege, so it's more of like a money privilege. So we were getting told by a local that quite often some of the poorer families, they do come and they can't afford the cremation, so they just drop the bodies in the water because they want the best for their ancestors and they want them to pass through to the holy place.
Yep.
In the day, you know, like a long time ago, would have been fine. You know, it's just a body that they're putting in the river. But nowadays, with so many people, and yeah, it's I think it's more of a...
We never saw that, thank God, but... Yeah.
But overall, really great town. Recommend it if you're going to go to India and you can tack on an extra day or two because it's such a unique place to visit, I think, in the world. And it has so much cool history.
And some things to do,
it's
definitely.
It's one of the oldest cities in the world.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Definitely go and see a ceremony. They happen every day out on those ghats, in that main ghat particularly.
Right around sunset.
Around sunset. And you can take a boat, which is what we did, which is really nice because we're not great with crowds. So in the Ghat area, you know, there's just like hundreds and hundreds of people. And then you can take these boats out and you kind of overlook the ceremony and you hear the chanting and you can see it all from a boat, from the water, which is really beautiful. And you can see them letting free these boats of flowers. And
good food.
It's really cool.
Insane amounts of people because you've got not only your Western tourists coming to check it out, but you've got all the people that are making their pilgrimage and most of them are making it with their entire families. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely something I thought we had amazing meals there.
Oh, the food was amazing. Yes. It was so cheap as well.
When I think of India, like one of my most positive like thoughts is just like food. You know, like when I think of good things in India, it's just like food. It's just so much. Everybody is a chef. Like everybody is like, you know, have thousands of years of cooking wisdom in them, and they all are so good at
there's
making
not
things
one,
flavorful.
There wasn't one food in 3.5 months that was not good. No matter how rough I bought it from the street, if it was like house-made, like veggie, meat, whatever, it was all delicious.
And so after 2 nights in Varanasi, we got back on another overnight train and headed back to Agra, which is where...
The home of the Taj Mahal.
The Taj, baby. This is where, unfortunately, on the day of the Taj, Matt got hit with the sickness.
This was my sick day.
Yeah, we all have our own allocation.
Potentially, I passed it on to everybody, so they say, but I think that we all just got it at different times.
Sure. We all get the same 24-hour bug at different times, Matt.
There's not a tremendous amount to do, but you get, like, you've got the little Taj. You obviously have the main Taj Mahal, which is where most people go and spend a good chunk of a day. It's an amazing place. It's one of those places that we all, like, as we walked in, we're like... I feel like I'm walking into a painting or a postcard.
And I think I don't know if a lot of you have been traveling for a while, I think that everyone also does get that numb feeling. I've spoken to it quite a lot with some friends where you see something beautiful and you're just kind of like, yeah, it's nice, but it doesn't give me like the feels, you know? And
it's
the Taj.
It's a backpacker syndrome, I think.
Yeah, but the Taj really gave me the feels. It was like, wow. And another tip about visiting the Taj is during sunrise, in the time of year when we went in winter, it does get very foggy. So Matt, the lucky bastard that he is, he stayed in bed, but he didn't miss anything because we couldn't even see the Taj until we were like 6 feet away from it.
Leanne and I paid twice. We went for the very first part, which is like always recommended. Go try and go early if it's foggy.
In the summer.
But if you... But go early because that's when you're going to have the fewest people and it gets so crowded that it's impossible
it really
not to have people in your photos. But Matt woke up not feeling well, so he opted not to go with us. And then Leanne and I went and literally couldn't... We'd get 10 meters from the Taj and we'd just start to be able to catch a glimpse of it. Otherwise, you can't see shit.
Yeah, and a thing to remember.
Were you guys jealous of the fact that I was in bed puking and going to the bathroom?
Yeah, we're very jealous that you got sick in a bedroom with a toilet when we got sick out in public, actually. Yeah. So you know what, Matt? Yes, we were.
If you really want to try and circle back on this, Matt,
we're still kind of sore on it. So. No one's as sore as Corey.
Okay, you're right.
Another thing,
I healed very quickly because I had the things to heal.
Yeah. Another thing to remember is the tickets that you do buy are only valid for 3 hours as well to try and sieve out the crowds. So it was 3 hours, isn't it?
Yeah, 3 hours. If you overstay, you've got
to pay again.
You have to pay more as you're leaving. They're going to charge you. But yeah, they try and make this visitation window to try and help with the crowds. It makes sense
because
people would just come and stay the entire day. But honestly,
you have to do it. You have to. It's gorgeous.
Sunrise and sunset are the best times to go. And we've got great tips in terms of sunset. Go on the other side of the river.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to think if I have it in my notes here of what that is called over there.
It began with an A, I think, and there's something gardens. You just take a tuk-tuk, and it'll cost like a couple hundred rupee, which is nothing. It's like $2 or $3.
Honestly, we grabbed a tuk-tuk, and we asked the guy, we want to go see the Taj Mahal at the sunset spot, and he knew exactly where we were talking about. So you can literally just do that, and he takes you over there. It's not going to cost you more than a few bucks.
It was
and
so surreal.
And there's really not that many people there either.
No.
Like,
it was incredible.
Crowded.
And it's just a whole new other perspective. And then you get that Indian
haze.
The Indian hazy sunset that's just so unique.
Which
and
is probably down to pollution. But you know what? We're going to see the bright side
Let's
of
look
the
at
pollution.
A positive
it's
of pollution.
Beautiful. It makes the sunsets beautiful.
It makes the sunsets really beautiful, yes.
Really?
We also, the first night that we were there that we didn't go to the Taj, we went to the Moonlight Bar, I believe it was, which happened to be this great rooftop.
Yeah.
And can we talk a little bit about the Japanese toilet?
Yeah, we're going to say the Moonlight Bar was very pricey. I'm not going to lie. Do not order the olives. Because we spent $3 on about 5 jarred olives, not even like proper olives. So we were really sour about that to begin with.
Matt just ate all the olives himself because he was like, whatever, I paid for it and there's not enough to share anyway.
Yeah, he was
awful.
Like, Leanne, you can have one. And Corey, it's probably karma because Corey doesn't like olives. But one thing
And obviously this is my fault too, because it was like a Western food, you know, or they don't eat olives, I guess, like we do.
It was a Japanese
And so
restaurant.
I was just assuming, like, yeah, I've been eating Indian food all the time. Like, I love olives and I crave them. So it was kind of a me thing to think that, oh yeah, they'll know, you know, what good olives.
I mean, when you see $3 worth of olives, you just assume that'll be a good amount, really, don't you? I think it was more than that, to be honest.
I could have bought like 4 jars of olives
for the price
that I paid for 5 olives.
But, so the Moonlight Bar, don't order the olives unless you're really happy about 4 olives on your
but
plate.
But great spot to watch sunset
and
at the Taj.
It had one of those amazing Japanese toilets where, you know, you go there for fun as opposed to duty.
Yeah, try and have a cup of coffee or something and just loosen the stool so you get the full benefits of this thing.
Yeah, we're talking like the warm water wave, the dry, the cold water wave, the heater. I spent
it had a
time
heater on it.
Yeah,
it had a heater. I had like a dryer. Oh, I love those toilets.
Here's a tip. Just go sit in the bathroom on the Japanese toilet and listen to the next episode of Small World's podcast and just thoroughly enjoy it.
Yeah, you're welcome.
It is the best toilet in probably like all of Agra. I don't know about India, but all of Agra.
India's
like,
pretty conservative.
If you really miss your toilets, then you go here.
Yeah,
because that is something you miss.
Yeah, go check.
You
get great panoramic views of all of Agra, and then you have obviously the Taj is just there in the distance, and it's really gorgeous. As we were talking about, when you go to the Taj, best spot as far as we know to get in the morning is to go to the east entrance. Fewest people. You're just going to have to deal with the people working outside of it just kind of constantly heckling you. This is a theme throughout India, but it's especially true near these very touristic areas.
Understandable.
Really, really interesting thing as part of the culture is the random locals coming up and wanting to take photos with you.
When we say interesting, Corey's being very nice. At first, you're kind of like, you're okay. But once you say yes to somebody, like one person, that is when the hundreds are going to come in and start queuing up. So honestly, you just have to say no. And sometimes you feel so mean because people are really nice. But we're just looking after you here. Just say no.
Yeah. No, India is one of those places, I think, where it's just, this is a very different thing. And it's like hard to grasp just like, because we're so polite and like smiling, we want to like say yes, but
yeah,
again, you're going to be spending like an hour of your day taking photos of people if you say yes. You just can't. You just have to like, you have to learn to say no and be a little bit aggressive in India.
Yeah. This is one thing I will say about India. Be aggressive. Be aggressive. Which, if any of you know me, you know I'm not particularly aggressive. I can be assertive, but I by the end of it, I was an awful person.
No, Leanne and I would put it on Corey, like if we had to buy train tickets, because everybody tries to cut in front of you. There's so many people trying to, like, do stuff at the train station.
We're just not old enough and wise enough to be, like, aggressive with people. So literally every time I tried to buy something, number one, I was a woman, so I didn't have as much respect anyway. But number two, I was a foreigner, and then it's like, oh, she won't push back. And that was it. Like, it would take me twice as long to get everything. So I was like, you know what, Corey, you're up.
And that was something that when we went back to the day after we had our day at the Taj, Matt wakes up feeling a little bit better. Now Leanne's getting hit with the sickness. We've got to take a 6-hour train journey from Agra to Jaipur. And we hadn't bought our tickets yet, so we go to the train station. Again, there's another section where you got to buy them as tourists. And I get in line, and all of a sudden, this guy just comes up, and he gets not only in front of me, but in front of, like, 6 other people. And he's like, I, like, just tapped him on the shoulder. I'm like, why do you think you can just get in front of everyone?
We were watching. Me and Matt were just watching on the sidelines.
And
he
turns to
me,
he's like, I've got this whole family that I'm buying tickets for. I'm like, oh, so now you're going to budge in front of me, and you're going to buy, like, 13 train tickets? That's going to take, like, an hour.
You should have just pointed at me and Matt and be like, I've got my kids over there.
Yeah,
I'm buying
it was unbelievable, and I'm not that fucking old, bitch. and so we have... It's just this really weird thing where you just have to stand your ground because the person working, they don't give a fuck.
No, they really don't. They're going to serve whoever's speaking the loudest and is in front of them.
And that's just it. And so then what was interesting with this one is I finally got smart and said, okay, we're going to try and buy as many fucking of our train tickets as we can here. So we bought 3 train tickets at this spot. And...
Might have got screwed over on purpose because Corey was shouting at everyone.
He put 2 of the train ticket for that day and the train ticket for a day like 7 days later. He booked them on the same day. So that train that we had 7 days later, we weren't actually supposed to be on, but we worked that out in the end. No worries. That's one of the benefits of being on a train with people who speak your language.
Yeah.
We got it worked out. That was
shout out to the lovely Indian family who were away for someone's wedding, and then they just organized our whole train ticket for us when we were sat in their space.
Yeah.
Very
I hope
lovely
that
people.
Your legal studies go as well as they seem to be going.
Yes.
So now we left, had an amazing time at the Taj. And one more thing I want to say about the Taj is... Honestly, one of the most beautiful buildings, just for someone like me who just loves some fucking symmetry, this place just absolutely tickled my just felt good walking through it, because everywhere you turn,
he was twitching the whole time. Hours of twitching.
Symmetry. And you know what? Spend some time in the mosque.
Yeah.
We had some really cool photos and stuff like that just because of looking through those huge archways and seeing the Taj. And just with the symmetry of the whole thing, you can just get some really spectacular photos.
Really, really cool place.
Right.
Yeah.
It was hard for me to, like, it is absolutely amazing. And now when I look back on pictures and I, like, have the memory, I wish I hadn't been ill. I was like a zombie walking through the Taj Mahal that day. But it is an absolutely incredible place. And for some reason, what sticks in my head is the birds that fly around the top. It just looks so fake. Like, the place just doesn't look real. Like, there's these birds flying around the dome at the top, and there's this perfect building, and it's amazing.
The sky even gets blue.
I'm not even into architecture, and it is, like, a really cool architectural feat.
Yeah, I think that's one thing, because I usually don't really enjoy going to these, like, super touristic spots in places. I'm kind of like, they kind of get worked up and built up, and the Taj is 100% one of those places where I'm like, wow, you have to go there. It's worth every penny. It was even worth it us going twice, to be honest, because it was so enjoyable.
Yeah.
Just to walk around the gardens.
Yeah.
It was really, really nice.
Yeah.
There are toilets, Western toilets. Take some toilet paper with you if you're feeling a bit dodgy.
Yeah, there's a few other things to go and do and see around Agra, but really I think your time there can be done in 1-2 days max.
Yeah.
And then hop on a train and finish out the third leg of the triangle heading to Jaipur, which, as we said, is a 6-hour train ride. Leanne had the sickness on this train ride, but stomached it better than I was able to.
Didn't shit puke, everyone. I did not shit puke.
Yeah, and we got there, and honestly, Jaipur immediately, as we're walking out of the train station and looking for a tuk-tuk to take to our accommodation, we're all just like... This place is just kind of open and a little bit more free and a little bit cleaner.
Cleaner, quieter, people weren't quite so pushy. Yeah. There was beautiful architecture everywhere.
Yeah.
It was cheap again. It wasn't because, like, I know we're moaning about things not being cheap, but we know how much we were getting ripped off at this point. So it was kind of like, come on, and people haggling and trying to sell you stuff even after you say no. No, does we're like, no means no, mister. So many times. Yeah. That's like our tagline. But Jaipur is really, really nice. I really enjoyed it there.
Yeah, we had a great Airbnb, a great host who was really helpful. And then we just spent one full day there, which I think you need one full, maybe two if you really want to get after it.
I think you could spend like 2 days without...
you could spend probably a couple there.
But there's tons to see. Most of the stuff you need to know, like you've got to pay... Probably, I think, $5 to $10 to get in and see, so it can add up.
This is like the palace, all the different, like, old royal buildings.
Yep.
Any forts and stuff.
But now, one fort, what was the main fort we went to?
Amber Fort?
Amber, yeah.
The Amber Fort.
Yeah, that was really amazing. Impressive. That, you know, that was, we paid to get in there, and we really enjoyed it because it's so huge. And after spending so much time in these really built-up places with loads and loads of people, you could get lost in this fort where there were no people. You could see, like, it looked like the Great Wall of China, like, going over all of the hills. You could see a blue sky, like a lake. Oh, it was really, really worth it. Really enjoyed that.
Yeah, really unique architecture there as well. Every little different place of the palace that you go into is done differently. And,
then we saw a stepwell there.
Yeah, the stepwell was such a cool feature, too.
I can actually get the name for everybody right now.
It's just called the stepwell.
No, that's what I wrote down.
I don't know, it's just a very unique thing that fills up and then drains of water, but there's these all these steps. It's almost like a maze.
So the name is Torji Ka Jalra. We'll write these in the...
Hey, Leanne, what did you compare it to? You compared it to that movie.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll write this name in the... show notes. But it did remind me very much, for any David Bowie fans out there who love the movie The Labyrinth...
Who doesn't love the movie The Labyrinth?
Well, you've never seen it, so I know you
do. I assume
honestly, I'm not going to lie, I've never seen it.
I know, I'm ashamed of both of you. But it's the song at the end of The Labyrinth when she finally gets to the Goblin King's palace and then... her little baby brother's on the steps and they're all upside down and David Bowie has been a sexy goblin and is just like dancing around with his crystal ball. That is
you
exactly...
had me at Goblin King.
Oh yeah. That is what that reminds me of.
Okay, you guys keep it PG.
Well, whatever, Matt, don't let us get started on you.
Yeah, let's talk about your last 4 days.
It is Valentine's Day today, so
I'll let it slide.
So one of the things, too, is that as we were looking in Jaipur for a ride to this Amber Fort area, we're walking up this street, and we're trying to just find a spot to get a bite to eat. But all we can find are fucking bookstores. So there's this one road where it's just like every other building is a bookstore. Nobody knows how any of them stay in business because they're all selling the same thing. But it was just this really unique thing for the city. I don't know what it had to do with anything, but I was just like, this is just so many fucking books. Also,
I read something that you can't go through India and you can't like talk to a cashier who isn't like a philosopher on the side, you know, because they just read so much.
Which
like,
is awesome.
Philosophy and different books. They're all just, like, these really, like, intelligent, spiritual people.
Yeah, well, I guess it's all the mantras and all of the gurus. It's all ordinated. It's such a spiritual country, right?
Yeah,
and
they've
such
all a read religion. A ton of books on persistence.
Yeah. Do not understand the word, though. And a ton of books on staring, which we're going to get to later. As a woman, very difficult.
We also went out and had a really nice dinner there, and we had a... there was that Indian performance, that musical performance, where that woman danced and kept having all those
like bowls on her
bowls
head,
balancing on her head as she was doing some belly dancing.
She had like
really
four
unique.
Of these that probably came up to about 2 feet on her head or 3 feet on her head, like maybe four or five bowls, and she did like that lovely footwork. And she did very well with all the bells around her. I have no rhythm, so I really appreciate when people can dance.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was very impressive.
And then, okay, so this is just such a cool town. This normally rounds out your trip to the Golden Triangle. I think from here, most people head back to Delhi on the train. And then, and we should say that train's not the only way to get around. People do just rent, they take an Uber or a private driver to get from these places as
well. Which is really affordable. If you're, obviously we had, well, not really a lot of time, but we were willing to give up on stuff and spend time on the trains. But if you do have a bigger budget and you do have a lot of time, less time and a bigger budget, then it's really quite affordable to, if there's four of you, for example, or five of you, you can get a big car. It is very affordable to hire a driver, but I am pretty sure you do have to pay for his accommodation and food and stuff on top of it.
Yeah.
But I think the train system is like such a part of India. Like it's like something that I personally, because it plays a part in their history. And if you come from somewhere like the US where trains aren't really used for like passenger service so much anymore, it's really interesting to take trains around, you know?
Yeah, and it's like you said, it's part of the culture. And I that was probably, it sounds really sad, but one of my highlights is on these train journeys.
No, it was.
Like,
I was
really
gonna say
fun.
That. It's so fun. You play cards, you have a good time.
You
like,
meet
if you're
these
with people.
It's
fun.
Yeah, but even if you are alone as well, like we were saying earlier, the people are so friendly that if you're on your own, and I do find that as a woman as well, I found that lots of families were a lot nicer to me, like in general. They were kind of like felt sorry for me almost if I was sat by myself, and then they'd chat to me, and then you guys would show up and it'd be like, okay, she's not alone. But
I
do
people offer you food a lot in India.
Oh,
as well,
just
like,
such nice people.
So much food,
really.
Yeah.
Lots of warmth.
Yeah, and just to, you know, as I said before, it's a really great time if you're wanting to like get through a few levels in your video game on your computer. You've
honestly
got nothing
Witcher
but time
fans
to do
and
it.
RPG fans, great
playing
time.
Like six rounds of Rummy. And
For Jayapur as well, I will say, so some of the spots that we checked out, so I do have my notes of where we went. The Hawa Mahal was really beautiful. That is featured in our video for India that's coming out soon. That's basically where the royal women would sit and look out of windows. It's one thing we learn about the history. The women of India and the royal families, they used to sit and watch people from afar. In every palace we went to, actually, we learned this.
It was like early Instagram.
Yeah, right? Just stalking just with your own eyes. Yeah. But a really beautiful palace. It wasn't too expensive to get into. And then you also had the Jal Mahal, the Jantar Mantar. You have the City Palace. And the Nagra Fort as well, which is different from the Amber Fort, but just down the road. So really cool stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Matt realized going there that he, you know, he might not have been a royal, but he might have been able to date a prince. And therefore get
gardener?
Himself into the royalness of the whole scene. That's kind of where he felt his role would be.
You know, like, for the people who are like me and who like to imagine themselves if they had to live back in that time, especially if you're like me and I'm gay and then that time would have been really not okay, I'm like, oh, I'm sure I bet I could have like, you know, worked my way into like a servant for somebody in the palace. Like,
servant
know,
in the
obviously.
Bedroom and the garden.
So we really, I think overall, like, I don't know. Jaipur was this really great experience in terms of just feeling like one of the cleaner Indian cities.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have very positive memories of
Jaipur.
Yeah,
me too. Yeah. That's when things were started, because we were a bit stressed out.
We'd also been in Delhi,
Varanasi,
and Agra, and like had just been surrounded by pollution and people. And we
your
had a little bit of a
bombarded.
Yeah,
basically.
We had a little bit of a break from that because we woke up that morning in Jaipur and we're like,
nice.
That's fucking blue sky.
And our Airbnb host had two Labradors and whole litter. Golden Retrievers. And a whole litter of Golden Retriever puppies.
Golden Retriever puppies.
Puppy therapy. Hello.
He could have charged us triple and we would have been in.
He could have just. Yeah. I wish he'd given us a
puppy. Oh, he was so nice too. He gave us a ride to the train station. People are very kind.
That's just some of that like Indian hospitality that even though we're probably moaning a lot in this, we experience so much positivity from people.
Yep.
Another spot after Jaipur that we didn't actually have time to go to in the end because we were pretty tired after shooting all over the country is Jodhpur. I don't know if you've seen photos, but that's basically the city that has like the blue town and then it has a fort on top of the rock. I've heard really great things about this, but this time we did not get to go there just because we had to pretty much choose between there and Jaisalmer.
We wanted to make a decision whether, like, we could have done it fast and done both, but we wouldn't have really, I think, got to appreciate. Yeah. We decided to go to Jaisalmer and, you know, actually, like, sit there and appreciate for a few days.
Exactly. And thank goodness we did, because we were all fucking exhausted after we left India. But yeah, so from Jaipur,
so
we hop on another...
So it's a 5.5-hour train to Jodhpur. And then if you do go to Jodhpur, again, highly recommend it because of people... I've got friends that have been there, but if not, we took another 5-hour train from Jodhpur to Jaisalmer. Huh? So it would be 10 hours from Jaipur.
Jaipur to...
Just saying, because we skipped a really good
Jaisalmer
city.
Was...
10 hours.
Was like 10 to 12 hours. But yeah. That ended up being on time because our train was supposed to get in at 4:30 a.m. and it did.
Yeah, it was the one time
we wanted our train to be delayed, so we didn't get there.
And we were like, you know what, it gets in at 4:30, cool, like, it'll probably be delayed 6 hours, we'll get in at a reasonable time, have a good night's sleep.
This is the train where we'd been booked on the wrong date, so about our 30 minutes into the train ride, we realized that we were sitting in other people's seats, and we'd made a big stink about it.
We'd been insisting
felt like
that
assholes.
They were wrong. Very nicely, but we were still insisting. Like, oh, yeah, I can read.
And then, so the date on our ticket was booked for, like, a few days later. And then, so we had to miraculously... I think the guy who was working on the train expected us to get off, which we didn't.
Because the family who
was... And then the family was like, don't worry, this happens all the time, they'll sort it out. Unfortunately, the
but
guy
also, came... I noticed among another people, too, when you guys were sleeping and I was eavesdropping on someone behind us on a previous train, that if you do accidentally get on the wrong train, like, sometimes, and that's what they let us do and what they let this other guy do, is you can pay a fee. Like, you have to pay, like, a small fee. Yeah. I mean, I think it was
around 2,000 rupees, which isn't that much in hindsight.
Yeah, that's under $30.
For a mistake. But it's not the end of the world if this happens.
You can also get a refund on your tickets. So this is what happened. We had to buy new tickets in the sleeper class, and then we just got a refund for our tickets that were a week from then.
Which ended up being a pretty easy process. I sent the kids out on a task on their own as I was still reeling from the sickness, and they were able to knock out a few tasks.
We did so many tasks that day.
Yeah, that was a task day.
But another thing, wine in Jaisalmer, expensive. Don't buy it.
Yeah.
Don't be drinking out there. It's expensive.
But on another note, you can freely just grab like a bottle or two of wine or beer or whatever you might want to bring and take it under the train with you. It is something that is...
No, I remember. So that's what we did. But when I was queuing in the first class section to use the bathroom, I was reading the sign of do's and don'ts. And one of them was don't drink alcohol on the train.
Interesting.
We have that Western privilege where no one told us off.
I saw a lot of locals doing it.
Yeah, okay, so yeah, I saw the sign. But there was also a sign for no staring at women and making
them
uncomfortable.
There's a lot of signs in India that tell you things, and I don't think they're necessary.
Completely. Yeah, well, like I just said, there was a sign for don't stare at women.
Throw your
and
trash
I was like,
here.
It says
do not honk in this area.
Do not honk.
Well, we all know that's a joke.
Yeah. So, I gotta say, I think for me, and I think I can speak for you guys, outside of the Taj, Jaisalmer was the best spot of this 100%. Segment of India.
You have to go.
It is a stretch. It's out there. It's only a couple hundred kilometers away from the border of Pakistan. It's very safe in the desert.
It's very safe to note on
extremely
that.
Safe. And just this great, beautiful, old, historical city. And we'd highly recommend staying up in the fort because more than likely wherever you stay is going to have a nice little rooftop where you're going to have views of the city
and
the desert.
Who doesn't want to stay in like a 1,000-year-old fort? It's amazing. It's like old sandstone.
It's called the Golden City because all that sandstone gives it like this beautiful hue, and especially at sunset, the golden hour, it just is a beautiful.
Yeah. And the people were significantly less pushy here. It was like Jaisalmer was like this next step, and then this was the next step after that. It was just everyone was very hospitable. The food was great, obviously.
Yeah. So take a day and walk around the city. Take another day. And a lot of people make this into a day and a night where they'll go out into the desert, into the sand dunes, take a camel ride, and then you get, they're going to make you dinner. We had a nice local musical performance by this guy that was just really beautiful. And then just watch the sunset over the sand dunes in the desert, and it was really cool.
That was so beautiful. Yeah, if you're like a nature and you like to do things outdoors, like that's a cool. I really enjoyed that. It was like we were, you know, out. We were away from people, enjoying the sunset on some sand. That was great.
And in typical India fashion, as you're in the middle of fucking nowhere where nobody is around you, all of a sudden you start seeing somebody walking towards you, and it happens to be a fucking guy selling cold beer.
Like, and you're what? In the middle of nowhere.
we literally were like, what is going on? What is that thing that's coming over towards us? And it was a beer salesman. Just a casual beer salesman in the middle of the sand dunes.
Indian people are very good business people. They just know.
They just know someone's there and someone's thirsty, which we were.
Yeah.
And another thing I do have to say, there's something that I learned from a local, which is called the Rajasthan Music Festival. Which is, if you are there whenever that is on, there's a music festival in that very same desert, and from the looks of things, it looks amazing. So again, it's not far from the Pakistan border, but it was really beautiful. Not far from Jaisalmer, but a really cool festival. If you are there during that time, look it up. Again, we'll put the name in the show notes because that was highly recommended to us.
Yep. So for us from Jaisalmer, after a couple days there, we felt like we all got through the sickness. And then
we survived.
We made a comeback.
By then we were cured.
Yeah. And it was only like a 24-hour bug. It was really just, it wasn't that bad, but when it hit hard. And if it hit at an inopportune time, you were really on the struggle bus. But
I was really happy you guys got it, kind of, because I was thought I was being dramatic. And then when you guys were both dying in bed, I was like, okay, cool.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what would have set it off, because
he was being dramatic.
I think, honestly, Matt, I still stand by the fact that you got sick and you gave it to us, because we had stomachs of steel by that point. And who gets a 24? If you get food poisoning, you all get it around the same time. But it was all exactly very well timed.
Yeah, apparently in England, there's no such thing as a 24-hour bug.
No, there is, but it's like, but come on.
But that's
like
a whole other thing. So before we like send off on this, I've just got like a few bullet points here of some know before you go to India things. Because, like we said, we really, really enjoyed it. We all left really fucking exhausted. And it's like what Matt had said before. One of the things with India is when you leave your accommodation, all of your senses are peaking at all times.
We're talking smells, sights, sounds, everything. You're just on survival mode.
It's out of control just how alert you have to be. And it doesn't really add up while you're there, but once you leave and you like catch your breath, you're like, oh my God, I've been this tired ever.
Yeah, like we're still actually recovering.
Yeah, and it's a couple weeks later and we're all like, we all just like, Matt went to the Philippines, we went to Thailand, like we were like, we have to go to the beach. God, we sound so spoiled.
I know.
But we,
it's true, it was very exhausting.
But some things that we think you should know before you go, staring. And this is especially true for people, like if you're a girl, especially a tall, blonde, pretty girl like Leanne.
Thanks.
Westerners in general, just people are going to stare at you. As we mentioned before, there's no respect for getting in line or queuing up.
But I will go back to the staring thing. Girls, I covered up. I dressed exactly how you're told how to dress, and it doesn't matter. So one thing, Matt even made a video once, and it was literally, I was walking down the street and people doing double takes and staring at you, and I describe it as like a hungry stare for the women. Of course, like the guys got it as well. And I'm not going to lie, it's really hard to deal with, because if you stare back, that's seen as encouraging people.
Mm-hmm.
So don't stare back, and if you're kind of strong-willed like me and you find it really difficult to seem submissive, which I did, it's just the safest way. You don't want to anger anyone, and it's so annoying and it's so frustrating, and I feel so sorry for the local women there. It's just a complete culture difference that you do just need to get used to. Yeah. Just cover up. Don't wear tight jeans. Don't have anything chesty out, because you will see people staring at you, even if it's not even that chesty.
Yep. Very male-dominated. Yeah. Matt can attest that even if we're out to dinner
Matt
and Leanne orders a meal, and they have questions about her order, they'll address me or Matt, and they won't address Leanne about her own order.
Which is fucked up.
I think if there's like a guy with you, then they just automatically assume like that's who to be addressed. Like they won't address the female.
And Matt, you can tell us this from a gay man's perspective from Grindr. So he actually got an insight to being a woman in India from being on Grindr. So you tell us more about
I want to do an entire episode on Grindr, but let's just stick with this for now.
Yeah, no, but go on. Give us a quick summary. Go on. Tell everyone.
Quick summary. You can imagine in a very, sexually repressed country, there's no porn, gay's not allowed, or it's not very, super accepted, that when there's access to a thing like Grindr where they can go on and be discreet, I don't think they know how to... They don't have that relationship, idea, especially with gays, so they're very persistent. And same that they are with business, it's like they won't take no for an answer, and you get 100 messages that are like, tell me where you are, where are you, you're not responding, why? And yeah, anyways,
send me a photo,
so
send me a photo now difference. photo now oh whoa,
yeah.
Whoa.
So another thing is just you're just like we said, your senses have to just be on all the time. So as you're walking down the streets, especially in a big busy city, constantly being asked to buy, just check out the shops. It's easy to just ignore, and that's not actually rude, but, a day of walking around a city, or even just like a morning or an afternoon or a couple hours, and you're just like, please, please just stop. Along with that, you have all the horns going, and it's just constant, a barrage of noise, and it's overwhelming, and it's so much. So these are things that we're all very, very seasoned backpackers. We've been very fortunate to be able to go and do this in our lives, but India is a whole new thing that is something that we hadn't experienced before.
So just prepare, we all knew what it was going to be like, but you don't know until you know, I guess. And we do say this with the counter argument of how warm people were that we met and that we got to know. Which you do also have to bear in mind. So all of these things, all these negatives do come with the fact that we are there, we are visitors in a different culture, in a different, there's so many people there. So you do just have to take it with a pinch of salt, which is very difficult to do at the time. But it was still a great experience.
It's absolutely worth it. I think one of the things that we would say is go there. Spend some time in the bigger cities. Most people are going to fly into Delhi or Mumbai, but try and get up to down on the southern beaches. Leanne and I had a whole different vibe. I think up
great,
in the north where most people are going for their yoga retreats up in the Himalayas and stuff, it's a little bit of a different vibe. And just have these types of mental preparations ready, because it's just going to better your experience. It is a culture shock. You're just going to get hit with it, and there's no way around it. But to counter that, you're not going to go anywhere in the world that's going to give you better food for every fucking meal.
Honestly, guys, the food, paneer tikka, the fish. We were mostly vegetarian for this trip, with the exception of being down in the beaches in the south where we ate fish. But the vegetarian food is so good. The dal is so healthy and so good for you. The curry's not so healthy, but still so good for your soul. The food is delicious.
Yep. It's amazing how friendly the people are.
It's so flavorful, you won't even know.
And don't be scared of the spice.
And that's it, right? It's just this thing where you just have to... Yeah, there's so much flavor, and all the food is so rich, and it's just this unbelievable thing that just, it's just... Your palate is just smiling.
It's like soul food.
The people are so proud of their country. That's something that definitely resonates there. And I think just to end it off, we just highly recommend it. It's something that you have to go and experience if you do like to travel and experience these different cultures, because you're not going to find a culture that has this uniqueness that often. It's very much its own thing. And
completely, there's different cinema, different music, different languages, obviously different religion, different styles of dress. It's really interesting, really, really interesting.
Yep, take it with the good and the bad. And we were just, Leanne and I have been on the road for quite a while now. It was really nice to have Matt come and link back up with us and be our first second guest.
Woohoo!
We're so thankful that he's sitting there. We were on a Skype video and we were able to watch the sunset behind him in the Philippines, and now it's just a dark black screen.
Yeah. I'm just sitting by a bush by myself talking to me on the phone. It's okay. Yeah.
On Valentine's Day. We're honored that you're spending it
on
with
Valentine's us. Day. I'm going to a singles party later, so I don't feel too bad for me. Mm.
We don't.
Don't know. We've heard the stories, Matt. We don't feel so.
And we have to run because we've got to pack our bags and get to the airport as we are off to Chiang Mai tonight. But thank you so much, Matthew. And we will be in touch soon and go to India. Check it out.
Yes, definitely check it out.